I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Go now to the hotline and giving us the inside access to this, and also more importantly, to more on what it was like to mold one Jason Lock and four. It's Buster Olney from ESPN. And Buster, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, but I'm not going to claim any connection with that crap at all.
Good answer.
Buster, I still laugh when I think about you having sending phone calls to Jason in the mornings at his parents' house to do interviews that you didn't feel like doing. I think that's one of the greatest stories I've ever heard.
Yeah, we had to convert him into a morning person before he became a parent, okay? Jason didn't realize it back then, but it was suitable training that I'm sure has lasted forever.
It has. You got me on the right foot. I have no choice in the matter anymore anyway.
So Buster, assuming they get everything in line as far as preparing for the virus, could finances prevent us from having a season?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's been interesting. You know, I've had I'm more confident. You know, if my confidence last week was on a scale of 1 to 10 was a 1, I'm up to like a 2.2 at this point, because I keep on hearing from agents, from players who are probably more moderate in their feeling, and I get back a lot. Yeah, we have to agree to a deal. We're going to agree to a deal. And my follow-up question to every single person I talk to is, okay, then tell me the mechanism by which that actually happens. And I get silence, and I get, I don't know, because on the, you know, the players have their perspective. You know, the Scott Boras, Tony Clark wing is adamant that they're not going to take any salary rollbacks. The owners, I think, from what I hear, they feel like they absolutely need some salary rollbacks to help offset some of the losses, because there are no fans in the stands. And if a deal's going to happen, somebody's got to come out of their bunker. Somebody's going to have to deal with something. And let's face it, the relationship between these two sides is the worst that it's been in 25 years.
Wow.
You wish that they were holding committees and working together and going through the protocol, but it's apparent by the sort of the process they're going through that the working relationship is absolutely terrible. And if they stay in their bunkers, yeah, it's possible we won't get baseball, and that would be devastating.
Buster, where are we on the issue of the smoking gun email?
Yes.
That I guess first appeared in the New York Post? I've read that. It would seem to give the owners some cover that the way the union was presenting this whole thing, that, hey, they had their chance when we made this agreement in March. They had their chance to talk about, you know, no fans in the stands, and they didn't. At least my interpretation of this letter makes it seem like the owners may have a point here. Where are you on this?
I want to make this clear, just sort of context. We are in uncharted waters, right? There's no handbook for any of this. I would agree with your reading, Jason, that it seems like it, that that's how you could interpret that letter, that that's what's going on. But I will tell you, I've had executives on management side and agents both say to me, on both sides say, you know what, both sides screwed up, because there wasn't absolutely crystal clear language,
right,
that you know, that we've seen anyway, that dictates it one way or the other. The players keep on saying that, or excuse me, Tony Clark, Scott Boras keep on talking about how, hey, you know, it was understood. And on the management side, they keep saying it was understood and we had agreement. Where's the language? Where's the crystal clear, if there are no fans in the stands, this is what's going to happen? And that's why it's perceived to have been a mistake and oversight by a lot of people in the game, that we don't know exactly, crystal clear, 100% language, what was going to happen if they were going to play with no fans in the stands.
Buster Olney joining us. It's Inside Access with Jason Lockenfor and Ken Wyman. Buster, just your opinion, but if this were to break down because of finances and the NBA plays and the NHL plays and the NFL plays, how much damage – they survived not having a World Series in 1994. How much damage would this do to baseball to not play?
Yeah, back when Jason was in college, okay, in the 94-95 labor situation took place, think about what happened in that case, that you had a lot of fans who said, you know what, I'm sick of these guys. They couldn't even work out a labor deal. World Series is canceled. I'm not coming back. And it was so devastating that the Montreal Expos franchise was doomed. Yeah. If baseball doesn't come back when there's a perception that they have an opportunity to do so, but they can't because they can't agree on money, I think not only are they going to, you know, risk their effort to lure in the youngest generation of fans, but I think they are going to permanently turn off a lot of the older generations of fans. And you guys know and I know that if they don't come back, it might be really complicated. But the fact is, the fact that both sides have contributed to this into the, you know, sort of pushed this into the public forum on the player side by, and this is going back in late March, early April, you know, Scott Boras constantly doing interviews, the op-ed piece in the New York Times, trying to make the case for the players on money, Tony Clark making statements, Blake Snell saying what he said last week on that cringeworthy video,
yeah.
In which, yeah, there is elements of truth to what he said, but it's those are things that shouldn't have been said out loud. And then on the owner's side, these leaks that have taken place constantly, seemingly trying to put pressure on the players, they have now, whether intentionally or not, have completely framed this thing as a fight about money. And if so, if baseball doesn't happen, a lot of fans are going to believe it's about money rather than health concerns, and that would be absolutely devastating for the sport moving forward.
They've already set it up, though, because of all that climate, that somebody's got to blink to get a deal. Yeah. This isn't really a negotiation. It's a either you move off a 50-50 split, or you give us this, or you give us that, or it's not happening. It seems that there's already these conditions that aren't negotiations. They're platforms.
100%, which is why I personally think that that they should have, right from the beginning, been doing this behind closed doors. Because of the potential for this, the idea that, you know, over 30 million people would lose their jobs and so many families would lose loved ones, and there are people standing in food lines, struggling to apply for unemployment benefits, and you have a group of people who have access to millions of dollars if only they could figure out how to split the pie, and they can't make that happen. Oh my goodness, I think it would be absolutely terrible. And here's the other thing, too, from a practical standpoint. I wrote about this the other day on ESPN.com about how I really feel like the leverage of the moment really belongs to the players. The owners probably need the games more than the players need the games. And if I'm leading the Players Association, I'm going to try to parlay that, the leverage of the moment, into a big picture improvement on things like free agency, on things like tanking, on service time manipulation. And you can take that to the players and say, look, this could help us long term. And on top of that, they should know, guys, if they can't get a deal with the owners this summer, and the CBA is up at the end of next year,
right,
2021, you can bet, while the owners have leverage, or excuse me, players have the leverage of this moment, when the CBA talks happen, the owners would be coming with blood.
Yeah.
When the leverage pendulum would swing, and they would be looking to punch back, and that would be absolutely ugly for the union, in my opinion.
Buster, do you agree with Tom Glavine that no matter whose fault it is, if this doesn't happen, fans are going to blame the players?
Yep, because they're front and center, and that's not right. I mean, the way Tom said it the other day was exactly right. During that 94-95 work stoppage, the players absolutely held the high ground. Where this was they were basically asked at that time to settle a fight between small market and big market owners, and they held their ground, and they were 100% right in doing that. And yet they did take the brunt of the abuse because they're the guys who are out in front of the fans. You know, the average fan doesn't know what the owner of the Kansas City Royals looks like or the owner of the Indians, but they do know what the players look like. They do know what Blake Snell looks like. And, yeah, 100% they would take the brunt of the blame. It's not fair, but it's the reality.
Buster, I just wanted to bring it back local for a second. The last time we had you on, you expressed some trepidation about, and this was much earlier in the pandemic, just about where the Orioles were in the state of the game and the state of their rebuild and what's going on in the city and attendance and everything else, that you had concerns about their future. Now we're talking about, you know, a worst-case scenario that would involve a labor strife amid a pandemic. I'm guessing your concerns are only ratcheted up.
Absolutely. And in generally speaking, it's funny because, you know, 2-3 years ago, there was a lot of conversation about expansion in baseball. And I want to make this 100% clear. I have heard nothing from any Major League Baseball officials. This is just something, that a conversation that's happening at the team level where they're looking at the, you know, potential devastation for teams like the Tampa Bay Rays, who have been trying to get a ballpark. Good luck getting public funding in the years ahead. Yeah. Same thing with the Oakland Athletics. And so, you know, quietly there's conversation about, you know what, there might have to be contraction. And you worry about fragile franchises, and there's no question the Orioles are in that category at this moment as a fragile franchise, especially, you know, bearing out what Peter Angelos was always fretted about, the fact that the Washington Nationals now have come forth with very wealthy ownership and have become, you know, an excellent franchise and dominant in the marketplace.
Buster, last thing for me, and it's not as important to the fans, but we've been talking about this a lot on this show, and that's the future of the minor leagues. And they don't have the wherewithal that the major league owners have. What are the minor leagues going to look like if and when baseball's back?
Yeah, very different. Look, last fall when that first plan came out or was leaked to the New York Times, it looked like the minor leagues might have some leverage in pushing back against this 42-team retraction. And instead, I think because obviously now they were hoping to lobby politicians in Washington and folks like Bernie Sanders had stood up for them, forget it. Like, there's the people in Washington obviously have bigger things to worry about, and that's why it does seem like they're going to be far fewer minor league teams whenever they come back. Now, for this year, it would surprise nobody at some point if they just announced no minor league seasons. You might, if they can get minor leaguers to play, and that is a question for all teams, how you're going to develop this generation of minor leaguers. It seems more likely, just talking with team executives, that those will be things like an extended instructional league, you know, happening down the spring training sites, that sort of thing, as opposed to playing minor league baseball. There's so many layers to this thing, and so many people are hurt, which, again, underscores the need for the big dogs to get their deal done.
Buster, I'm just thinking of this hypothetical where the NBA and NHL plays and baseball doesn't, and just people will just turn their back on baseball in the climate we're in. It'd be unbelievable to me. But, Buster, we really do appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Likewise, I had one person in baseball suggest to me that if that scenario plays out exactly like you painted it, it's going to become like a mantra for some fans to boycott baseball out of their frustration. And this is someone who has a vested interest, but he's concerned and he's reading the tea leaves and the directions these things are going.
Well, I hope some cooler heads prevail, that's for damn sure. Buster, thank you so
much. Keep up the great work, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.